We have another visitor this morning. Chris Brothers is here this morning. Distant brother-in-law that I have. Someday he'll come home again. We're working on that. Kurt, that was an amazing story. Just ponder that. I mean, what a revelation, what a word, what a illustration. I mean, I can think of all kinds of things. He was just having fun with his children, led him to his destiny. Now, think about that, people. Like, wow. Just think about that, you know? I'm telling you, geez, I'm trying to stay on track. It is. It's so good. You know, it reminds me of how I watch our little ones. we're trying to change their names, the name from the baby flock because they're getting bigger and older, and to lambs and arrows. Lambs, two arrows. And they are lambs, but they are turning into arrows that will be sent to a target, to a destination. And that's what we have the privilege of raising up. And they speak to me when I look at them. They are just children. They don't try to be prophetic, but they are. They're just children. And I wonder how maybe we would get an upgrade prophetically if we would return to childlikeness. There's a message right there, like, yeah, wow. And I'm good. Okay, here we go. That's so good. I want to share today about practicing silence. Karen's like, Chris, of all the days you come, this will justify your quietness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. The prophet speaking to Israel, of course, the Lord speaking to Israel through the prophet. And in verse 15, we're going to just pick this up in the middle of a chapter. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In returning to me and in rest, you'll be saved. Welcome, Patrick. It's really good to have you here. Yeah. I was going to say something to you before, but instead I picked on my brother-in-law because he's visiting too from the far south. So, we're losing people to the southern borders. So, anyways, great to have you today. And in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and confidence, this is your strength. I don't know who said this. I loved it because it justified a few things in my life. I used it in college once. And to my shame, it was what I wrote across a paper that I was doing for a certain class at the Baptist College, and I was already failing miserably. This is not a thing to emulate. This is bad. This is not a good place that I was in. I was lost. I was whatever. Not doing well. And the teacher of this class happened to be the son of my pastor back in Canton, Ohio at our Baptist church. And I was like doing a paper, I'm not doing well. So I wrote on this a quote that I had heard, that even a fool, when he is silent, is thought to be wise. And I wrote that on like I have no answer for this paper. And he called my pastor and I got in trouble when I got home. connections. I got a lecture when I got back to, Canton. Anyways, there is something about being quiet and being patient, because in our culture, we are talking way too fast. And in our lives, and do you understand that every time you jump the gun with your mouth, you mess all kinds of things up? And the Lord's even saying to Israel, be quiet, quiet yourself, get confident. And there's a confidence that comes. You don't get confident by talking a lot and talking presumptuously and talking foolishly and talking. We all say this. We hear someone that's just doing this, talking fast and talking. We go, what's your first impression? They don't know what they're talking about. We say that all the time. But a person that tends to be quiet and contemplative and thinks about what they're going to say and thinks about what they're doing, and they're not the first to answer in a situation, that we tend, in time, it proves they're wise. Because it takes time to weigh things out and takes time to measure things out. And someone that's wise doesn't just speak first impressions. And Isaiah 11 talks about this, about the Spirit of the Lord. It's one of the areas that the servant of the Lord would carry this anointing, and he won't judge with his eyes and he won't discern with his ears. In other words, he'll contemplate. He'll have true discernment. He won't just look at what something looks like or appears at first. He'll look at the facts, and he'll contemplate what's really going on here. You'll hear a story from someone. This can be tough. It's a challenge, but wisdom says, listen to the story and be careful to respond. Because all that person has to do is leave out one crucial fact, and the whole story is it changes everything. And if you respond without knowing that whole story, that nothing but the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, that thing, you can leave out one fact and totally mislead somebody. And we don't maybe do it maliciously, but when we're telling our side of a story, especially if we're struggling or upset, we're offended, we do often leave out that one little thing that makes all the difference. This is just the life we live in, so get wise, get patient, listen, wait on the facts to be proven, wait on to see what's really going to go on. In verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And he's telling them, be in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. In verse back up in 15, but you wouldn't do that. I told you, be quiet, be confident, settle down, but you wouldn't do that. And they get in trouble. No, for we will flee on our horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. That's not a good promise. That's not a good thing for the Lord to tell you. In other words, if you run from this situation, it's going to come after you. And you think you're going to run fast, and there the enemy will be faster. In other words, don't run from things. You're going to be tempted to run. We're tempted to run in a lot of situations. But when you run, your enemy comes and pursues you. Have you ever done that? Like, you won't face something, and you have, we all have our way of running. Like, oh no, I don't run. Whatever. I'll just ask this question, and you answer. How many times have you been around this mountain? Then we can kind of conclude, instead of standing, you ran, or you wouldn't be around to the same place again. If you would stand in the moment that you're confused and you don't know what's going on and wait on the Lord, you won't be around the same mountain again. You'll get answers this so that the next time you loop around, you go, I got this. It's like those video games that our kids used to play. I know none of the adults do. And there are levels, and the key to getting up to the levels is learning what kind of monster or creature or, digital thing is going to jump out at you, and you go, oh, I know what's coming around this wall, and you're ready for it. Boom, 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 you blow it up. How do you graduate? Because you learn the dangers of that level, and you beat it. You beat the game. You don't really beat the game, but you go, oh, I got this. I accomplished this, so I'm going to the next one. So learn, and there's this word of the Lord saying, don't run. Don't run from things that are hard. You'll be back to it again. You can run as fast as you want. Your enemy will be faster. It pursues you fast. You go, oh, I'm not dealing with this now. You'll deal with it later. Don't deal with your toddler when they're three. Teenage years are coming. A three-year-old, you still can pick them up and, you know, the teenager, maybe not. Deal with it now. It only gets harder. So the Lord says in response to all that, I told you to wait, told you not to run, told you, you know, be quiet, be confident, like get the answers. They don't do it. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. So his heart, he's amazing. His heart still hasn't changed. When I did this, the funeral yesterday, getting the opportunity to talk to this group of people that aren't normally in church. Great opportunity. I said, Lord, like, I'm with you today. I want to please you. And I'm good with this. And I went as a messenger, and it didn't matter what the response was. I went as a messenger, and I delivered a message. And I went back to Psalms 119 that I've been preaching here. And this in this phrase that shows up five times in that same chapter, the Lord's mercies are everlasting, enduring. His mercy is everlasting, endures forever. The phrase repeats and repeats. So that they would be well-grounded in the fact that God is merciful. He keeps giving us chances. Let's be clear about something. The Lord is patient. He's kind. He's merciful. He keeps showing his mercy. We get to try it again. He's like, try it again. Get up again. Do it again. His mercy's like, let's get that established. We want that established in our lives, that he is good and that his mercies endure forever. So he keeps showing mercy. We run out of mercy with each other, but he doesn't. He keeps showing that mercy. Not that it's okay, but he shows the mercy, so we'll try again. Come at this again. Try again. Come again. So he's in verse 18, you see his heart, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. Took the words right out of my mouth. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. The practice of silence is a manifestation of learning how to wait on the Lord. It's a big key to waiting on what's waiting on the Lord. First of all, zip it, especially when you don't know what you're talking about. And definitely don't declare bad things. Declare promises. I appreciate Phyllis's, you know, she was meditating on this morning and shared about meditate on my promises. Keep your eyes focused on my promises. And then even in a difficulty, the Lord asks you, are your baskets full? Oh, yeah. Do you have what you need today? Yeah, I do. So we're so quick, we see some things happening, we're like, oh. Don't talk about it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say everything you feel. You feel that panic, like, oh, I'm out of whatever. Like, you don't have to announce that. Just be quiet for a moment. Because if you're not careful, you're releasing the rhetoric of the enemy, whispering in your mind. Often, it's just feelings. Nothing real has even happened yet. We have to learn to fight those feelings because they're only feelings. Nothing's even gone wrong yet, but you're like, oh, wow, I got that. And that comes on us, and it's a spirit. You'll pick it up. We just have to just get wise about this. You can pick it up anywhere. All of a sudden, I mean, I'd love to say we're made out of Teflon. Nothing ever gets on us. We love Jesus. That would be a great message. However, I'd get tested on it by Monday, and y'all would too.
Because the reality is, stuff affects us. It pulls at us. It can't overcome us, but we're affected by things, and it's okay. When it's cold out, I don't have gloves, my hands get cold. When it's hot out, you're in the sun, I get hot, I sweat. I'm subject to the elements. We're in the life. There are things that we encounter, even spirits. They don't have to overcome us. We don't have to give them charge, but we're affected by things. So sometimes it affects our mood and our mode and our thinking. I can be driving my car and drive from city to city and have and experience the change in my psyche. Have you ever paid attention to it? You drive some places, you feel hopeful. You're like, hey, I'm like, let's build something. Let's do something. Let's conquer something. Come to another place like, I can't breathe. I feel oppressed. Now, we're not to be subject to those things, but you can feel it. You're left. What's the beauty of pain? It tells you when something's wrong. You don't want to be pain-free because pain shows you, hey, there's a nail in your foot. Pick it up. So you don't want to go, Lord, I don't want to experience any pain. No, you want pain when you need to feel pain. When it's time to get your finger off the burner, that's hot. Lepers lose their fingers. They lose things. Why? Because they lose what's bad? They lose feeling. Once they've lost feeling, they can't tell when they're damaging their bodies. That's what's bad. Wow. So the pain is not the problem. It's our responses to the pain. Don't run. Stay quiet. Some things that I wrote down years ago when I was contemplating this, meditating on it. I think I'd actually read a quote maybe by a man named Bob Gass. Possibly is from him. Patience comes by silence. It's an odd statement, but when you meditate on it, you realize we need patience, right? The first step to that is just be silent. Like, learn to just wait. Don't comment. Don't talk. Don't complain. Definitely don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't run around looking for advice when you first need to just seek the Lord. That's one of the things that plagues the church. We start running around to each other about everything that's going on in our little heads and minds and hearts. And just calm that down a little bit. I really would encourage you. Make sure you've gone to the Lord first. I recommend it highly. I do. Because you can come to me and you can convince me to say any stupid thing. Because I'm like, I feel bad for you. Like, oh, this is happening. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know. And I'm not paying attention and I'm being careless. And I give an answer that is not from the Lord. I'm just responding from my human whatever. So I can even be pulled into that. Bad pastor. Bad. So don't tempt me. The practice of silence keeps us from sin. It keeps us from careless offense. You know, a lot of the times we offend people, we're being careless with that. I've pages of times I've offended people because I was just being careless with my mouth. Teasing. Dangerous business. Be careful. Do it with care. I love to have fun with people. I love people that have fun, but do it with care. Be careful. You're on dangerous territory. To keep from creating careless distraction to what God is saying or doing. How many times have I just ran off with a comment and it distracts from what the Lord would say? I answer someone too fast. Oh, the more I talk about this, the more bothered I am about what I'm remembering I've done. I've been aware of this. And if you get out of control with your mouth, you're just like bing, 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 bing. You know, I think the Holy Spirit sometimes is the one who's come along and go, be quiet. Like, hey. Well, he wouldn't do that. Might put his fingers over my mouth, though. Like, please, Rick, just. You have wisdom. It's not coming out right now, though. To keep from speaking things too hastily. How many times when you feel something from the Lord, you spoke it too early and you felt it just boom at that moment that you talked about it? Anybody besides me? Babies need to stay in the womb how long? Too early is not good. They can be perfect, but too early is not good, right? They need to stay in there as close to that date as possible. Why? Because that's where they're developed. They're ready for the real life, which is quite traumatic. They're ready for the real world at the right time, but not before. Like we want to, they come out early, we have to really take extra care with them, don't we? How much more your prophetic words, promises, things the Lord told you. Wait. I just gave you a great gift. Wait on the things that you feel the Lord saying. Just wait. Give it some time. Let it incubate. Pray about it. Write it down. Let it just sit on a page and look at it. And let it become something. Let it grow and incubate. And pour prayer into it. Lord, like this is a cool thing, but I'm just going to give it some time. Like, speak to, confirm this again, Lord. I'm just waiting on this. There are things that you need to move quickly on. That's true. There are other things you need to wait on. And only you will be able to discern this. And you can discern it if you'll just be patient, if you'll just choose silence before you choose speaking. To keep from committing presumptuous sins. Ay, ay, ay. Psalms 19. Presumption, interesting word. It usually has to do with, it's associated with being arrogant or being whatever. You know, there are a lot of synonyms to presumption. But I especially like to think of it in terms of you're jumping the gun. You're stepping into a place that no one gave you. You know that thing like, who died and left you in charge? You know those type A personalities that just jump in and charge whether they're invited or not. All of a sudden they're telling her, you know, that. They were presumptuous in taking charge of a situation. No, you know, like, when you're just ahead of the Lord in things, when you're speaking before your time, when you're stepping into things and fixing something that no one asked you to fix. Every husband has been presumptuous with his wife, right? I didn't ask you to fix it. I just want to tell you about this. Why tell me about this if I can't fix it? So every good man has to learn patience. This is so complicated for us. Like, it's taken me most of my life to get it right. Just listen. Just feel. Your wife just wants you to know how she feels about it. Don't be mad at the relatives. Don't jump up. Don't go, I'm going to kill the dog. Like, just easy. I'm going to adopt out the kids. That's it. We can't have them here anymore. Call up the adoption agency. No. I still love my children. They're just driving me crazy. Listen to me for a second. That's all I want from you. We're like having panic attacks. Like, it's hard. Like, let's fix it. Let's do something or let's not talk about it. You know. So we have to, that's presumption when you jump ahead and you're like, okay, I'll fix it. Like, that. Why else would you tell me about it? Because I want you to feel what I'm feeling. I want you to understand, because once I tell you about it, I'll be okay. I can jump back in there and go at it. Presumption in our walk with the Lord is a real problem. How often is Jesus like, will you get back here? Will you walk with me? No, I got to get out about, you know, 5 steps ahead of you. I wouldn't advise it. I wouldn't advise it. You gave me this promise. I'm going to make it happen. Anything you come into before the right season, it's going to abort. It's not going to make it. Or it's going to be very hard. I can't change my history, but boy, I wish I'd have come into the ministry a lot later than I did. I could have saved a lot, myself a lot of mistakes and everybody around me a lot of mistakes. You know, like, it was what it was. We were raising ourselves. We did the best we could. Psalms 19, this is the cry of the psalmist. In verse 14, 19:14, let the words, no, let's back up to 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So yeah, presumptuous sins. They can, that thing where you don't even realize you're sinning, like, is that possible? Uh-huh. It's like when the traffic, like, we'll claim this, but it's not like, I didn't know it was wrong to speed in this place. Okay. You don't read signs. I didn't know I couldn't make a turn like that. You may not have known it, but you were supposed to know it. I'm going to write you out a little card. You can send us a thank you note along with $100 bill. Yeah. So the psalmist is praying, Lord, show me these things I'm doing wrong that I don't even know are wrong. Now we're praying serious prayers. Lord, I think I'm doing great, but maybe I'm not. What did you think of what I just did? Be like, oh, I'm going to have to heal 10 people after what you just did. You know, like, we cause damages. We make messes. And you're going to have to go back and fix some stuff. Ah, well, I was right. But your heart was wrong. Lord, help me understand these things I do that I'm not realizing I'm doing. It keeps us from judging to practice silence, just choosing. Don't talk first. Think first. Wait on the Lord first. To keep from judging. That'd be nice to be free from. Do you understand? As soon as you enter into a judgment or as soon as you enter into an offense, immediately there's an immediate change on your life and change. There's an opening to the enemy. Stuff will start happening. Not because God's punishing you. He doesn't have to do a thing. The enemy's just waiting for a chance to get in. Oh, crack. I've had all kinds of things start happening if I get in the wrong frame of mind. I'm depressed. I'm like in that dark place. I don't go there very often anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But I've had times when I'm just kind of depressed. I'm in that low place and I'm staying in it and now I'm building a house there, you know? Stuff starts happening. I was driving my truck one day and a rock out of nowhere comes. I mean, a car had passed, it was long, or truck, something had passed me, and all of a sudden my windshield got hit so hard by a rock. I mean, I'm like, oh. And I knew immediately I'm in this weird frame of mind and stuff's happening. Stuff's falling up. Like, I didn't feel God was mad at me or punishing me. I'm like, I've opened the door. And I better get out of this thing right now. So we take responsibility for this. Like, this isn't good. I can't fix myself, but I know what I can do and what I should not be doing. I can change up some things. I can repent. I can start praising you. I can give thanks. I can climb out of this hole and change the atmosphere because I cannot afford to stay here. I'm going to get killed. Oh, you are. You're hated by the enemy. You're despised by him. He prowls around waiting for that place to get in. and wreak havoc. And then you're like, God, you let me down. It's like, son, I told you, don't do this. You open up yourself for attacks, for things to come. To keep from giving wrong counsel. Man, I'd love to just be free from that one. You ought to be a leader and know you gave bad counsel. You got caught up in something. You gave your opinion. And you go, oh, that was really bad. I got the rest of the story, and that was really bad. It's so easy to talk. It's so easy to think you know what you're talking about. It's so hard to find out you didn't. And have to take responsibility for that. So be slow. Don't be anxious to have an answer. Like, I feel so great. I have the answer. I know how to fix that. Just be quiet a second. Hold on. To keep from canceling out God's promises and prophetic words. Can I do that? Just the chance that you might be able to do that makes me fear the Lord. I don't even want to take a chance of canceling out any good words from the Lord. I don't even want to chance that. I don't want to take the risk. I don't want to open that door up. I want to keep that closed. I want to stay in a good place. And the first step to it is just simply just be quiet. When you wait on the Lord, you get results. Like, take these things. There's always something going on in our hearts. We're people. We're in the life. There's stuff that goes on. You don't have to talk about everything. Take a moment. Commit it to the Lord. Like, really just offer it up to Him. Simple words. Don't have to even be emotional about it. You don't have to be smart about it. Just give it up to the Lord. Like, just talk to Him like you would your friends. Lord, I got blasted. That happened. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I just got a bill, or I just got something just happened. Like, oh, this is hard. It's hard to deal with. What do I do with this? Give me, help me, show me, and commit it to the Lord and trust and believe that He'll send an answer, and He will. He's waiting to. Lord, give me a word. Give me a promise. I love Bill Johnson's testimony. He always refers to this. He goes, when I'm in a dilemma, I'm in a hard place, and you go, oh, you could never be. And it's like his story is he's been there a lot. Tough things, hard things. Because I start reading Psalms till I get an answer. Page after page after chapter after chapter. How many of you hung in there just reading the scripture looking for, because once you find a word, boom, it jumps off the page. But we're like, if I don't open my Bible and it's jumping out at me, I'm like, oh, there's nothing in here. And you close your Bible again. Right? Shame on us. How about this that you, and he says, I read until I find water. I read until the Lord speaks to me. Because once something comes off the page, I know you're all good. You know, almost all of you know how to do that, to look and you get a word and something just comes at you and go, Oh, and your heart comes alive. You might not even have an answer, but life has come back. And you're like, oh, yeah, I feel there's oil here. And I can make this my meditation. And this is what I'll repeat over and over to myself instead of the situation. I'll just say this over and over and over. The Lord is my light. Thought comes back. The Lord is my light. He's my shield. He's my protector. He's my high tower. I got a word the other day. He's my high tower. No fear. You meditate on that, and that becomes what you stand on. You just stand on that till the waters go down, till you get your footing again. Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalms 141, 3, or a few more scriptures. Psalms 141, verse 3. Know it's in here. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a good prayer. Any questions? Anybody need to read it in the Greek or five other translations? Lord, help this. Put a guard over. Put one of those masks over my head, you know, the umpire mask. Put that, you know, only put a mute over me. Like, set a guard over my life. Don't let me, I'm having trouble controlling this, so help. That's the psalmist saying, help me. Stop talking. There's no, you know, you buy a gun and you can get a lock for it, you know, and you lock it up so it can't be shot. We need one of those for our mouths. I'm not sure what that would look like. It might not be pretty. You probably wouldn't want to go out in public. Like, you know, and someone locks it up. Here, just put this in my mouth. We'll fast and pray 3 days before we take this off, you know? I don't know. Set a guard, Lord. You have to turn here with Psalms 39:1. I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. Every judgment, every presumptuous judgment towards someone, you open up doors for yourself. Do you care about your life? If you do, pay attention. Because this immediately releases bad things when we're not careful with this. James chapter 3, verse 2, if any man does not stumble in what he says in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Now we're into keys. Now we're into unlocking mysteries. Your mouth controlling this is a key to how your life's going. So it's pretty important. It's very important. We're quick to complain about how our life is going. The latest surprise. James says, if any man does not stumble in what he says in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Like, oh. There must be more to this. Psalm 17:3, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. It's important to come to a place where you don't sin anymore. By the grace of God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to set my heart, I'm going to make a choice to not do this. I need God's grace to help me because it's pretty hard to control this thing. But I'm going to ask for God's grace. I want to control how I talk, how quickly I judge someone. I hear a story, bow, out, you know, bam, I sin. I hear a situation, I'll watch something, it's all around us. We're just inundated with information and things. And the wrong response, it messes you up. Speaking the wrong thing causes you harm. The practice of silence. So I was thinking today to be serious about this. If we could, I'll just go with what I felt. That if there's a acknowledgement in your heart, like, let's not make this complicated. It's just simple. It's very simple. It's very key, but it's very simple. You feel that you want to do that, to set it in your heart. What was that? What was that? How that verse read? Read. How did that read? Psalm 17:3. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. I want to purpose that I don't transgress with my mouth. Like, if you have a yes to that, then I'd like for you to come up, but instead of like individually getting prayer, I'd like for you to gather, or you can gather in your chairs, just a couple people, and just pray over one another for grace to come that this supernatural thing comes over your lips, because if your mouth is guarded, and now I believe we have more opportunity for the Spirit to start moving on us to speak. What if this is the hindrance, one of the big hindrances to the Holy Spirit moving on your life, because He can't trust your mouth? Again, I'm not talking about the Lord punishing you. I'm just talking about what can you be entrusted with? What can you be entrusted with? Can you be trusted? Is this controlled so you can be trusted with information, with seeing something, with witnessing something, where the need is prayer, but the temptation is running your mouth? And then to have the great privilege, where this goes then, is the Lord will use you and your mouth to speak good things, because it's cleansed, because you're proven, and there's a flow of good things, and you practice speaking the truth. And I believe that our discernment will escalate as we just start developing this, learning how to wait for the Lord and watch for the Lord. So let's respond today. And there may be other things to pray for, that would be good. But if you'd like to make this change, then come up or gather with someone close to you, two or three, just small groups maybe. I would like to see that, that we can just pray for one another. And you just acknowledge, I want prayer for this. I live in a situation where it's hard to not say the wrong things. Especially if you get something happens, you get emotional. Boom. Okay, so yeah, let's do that. Put on some music, Samuel, some. You want free from fear overtaking you and speaking that, like, come, get prayer. If we have the Lord's grace on us, like, that's what it takes. It really does. How do you control your mouth? That's what James said. Man, if you can get this under control, you got the whole body whipped. Isn't that crazy? Any of you want to lose weight? No, this is serious. I've thought of this as I've contemplated this. Anything you need, like, this is where it starts. How about that for a diet plan? Get your tongue under control, and it releases the ability for you to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things. I believe this. It affects everything when you go after this and you have grace that your tongue comes under control. Like, there's a key here. I don't know how far it reaches. Miracle drug, miracle effect, like, do this, commit this to the Lord, and believe for the greatest potential. This unlocks, it just doesn't keep you silent. It gets you to where you enter into more supernatural stuff, more wisdom, more discernment, more control. That's freedom. I can control my mouth. Freedom, I can control my tongue, even when I'm emotional, especially when I'm emotional. Even when I get accused or insulted, that's great. I've got the power over this. I don't have to respond, because it's been conquered in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Find someone to commit to this with. Amen. In your seats up front.